This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. What happens on the Upper Mississippi River does not stay in the Upper Mississippi River. Many things that occur in our region affect the water and ecosystem downstream. With that in mind, mayors from large and small communities all along the river came together in 2012 to put aside their differences and become a collective voice for the river. The goal of the Mississippi River Cities and Towns Initiative is to draw attention to the biggest issues facing the entire river. I recently talked with some members, La Crosse Mayor Tim Cabot and Dubuque Mayor Roy Buell, about the group. Buell spoke with us from his office in Iowa.
When this Mississippi River Cities and Towns Initiative was first proposed to me, it was really an effort to be an influential voice for the Mississippi River, which had been, I believe, neglected, on a national scale from our legislators. And I think we've been proved to be very successful. I think we're up to 68 or 69 mayors now that have signed on with the Mississippi River Cities and Towns Initiative. And, it's bringing a voice to the river that it didn't have a mere 3 years ago. One of the things that was pointed out to me when the WERDA bill first came out, the Mississippi River wasn't even mentioned in that bill, and it's probably the major body of water, and system in the United States. So that was a red flag to me right away that said this is an organization that really needed to be formed.
And to remind people, WERDA is the Water Resources Development Act, sort of, as I like to explain it to people, the farm bill of water infrastructure in the country, in a way.
Right.
A lot of the issues affecting the Mississippi River are federal issues, so why get mayors together to deal with some of these things? Mayor Cabot?
Well, we're here at the local level, and we have to be the problem solvers, and especially when it comes to the health of the river, the impacts that we have, the future development opportunities. Here in La Crosse, we've been, focused for decades on providing better access and more beautiful access to our river system. Here, we've got the La Crosse River and the Black River that connect up to the Mississippi River. So, the trail access and our levee system and the Riverside Park, all of those things are very important, and it really happens at the local level. That's what drives it. And again, I think having mayors that can come together and talk about all those experiences, we learn a lot from each other. And I think from a development standpoint, I know they're doing some just wonderful things in Dubuque with some green infrastructure. We're hoping to do some similar things here in La Crosse with our La Crosse River Marsh. So that's a big benefit of getting mayors together, again, from just all up and down the river to talk through those issues.
And Mayor Buell, we look at the river, and here we are on the Upper Mississippi River, which has needs completely different from the southern half of the Mississippi River, from St. Louis or Cairo, Illinois, on down south. So, how do you get a group of mayors on board to decide that these are the main issues, regardless of where we come from and how large our cities are? These are the issues that we need to focus on.
Well, I think if you asked any mayor of a city along the Mississippi River, they would tell you that, that body of water is a major economic driver in their community. Now, it's an economic driver in different ways for the different communities, depending where you are in the river. Down in the southern stem, there's a lot of shipping and transportation of goods. That's probably the major focus of the lower stem of the river, south of St. Louis, where the last lock and dam is. Then as you move north, you've got rivers that are or cities that are very dependent upon recreational activities, the economic impact of that, or river-centric businesses in their communities. So there are different aspects of the river that affect different communities, in a way unique, I guess, to that community. But we understand as mayors that what happens at the northern stem of the river greatly affects what happens on the southern stem and vice versa. So even though our needs are different in our different communities, we all know that together, we can address all of the issues up and down the river and make it better for all of the cities that reside there.
Mayor Cabot?
We also have commonalities, and a big one, of course, is the whole issue of flooding and the impacts that we see with
right.
with changes in climate and water levels. That has impacts to shipping. But then, you know, obviously, we're all dealing with the safety and of our communities. So there are some common issues, regardless of size, that we all again pull together on. And I think that has had a big impact in Washington with the legislators to see that we've got mayors from up and down the river talking about some of these common issues.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about Mississippi River policies with two members of the Mississippi River Cities and Towns Initiative, a group of mayors from river communities all along the river. My guests today are La Crosse Mayor Tim Cabot, who's on the executive committee, and joining us by phone in his office is Dubuque Mayor Roy Buell. He is co-chair of the Mississippi River Cities and Towns Initiative. So, Mayor Cabot, you mentioned, you know, La Crosse is a little unique in the La Crosse River Marsh. What are some other things that La Crosse brings to the table that you bring to the discussion as we look at the Mississippi River nationally?
Well, I had mentioned the flooding issues. I mm-hmm. think that's one that we're very interested in here in La Crosse, and we're working through some of our uniqueness, but I think we also have learned and have, again, the ability to try to do local initiatives. So some of our work with FEMA and the Army Corps on flood-proofing properties and utilizing the pre-disaster mitigation grants, we've used those very effectively, and we've been part of the group that has pushed the federal government to increase the resource. You know, just a few years ago, I think the allocation was, you know, $30 to $40 million through our efforts here at the with the Mississippi River Cities and Towns Initiative. We have gotten the president to put that at a level of $250 million to cover, you know, cover the nation. So,
and that was part of the lobbying efforts on behalf of the mayors.
That's correct. I mean, again, that was, I think, one of the early successes that we've had, which reinforces the fact that we can come together because there are commonalities up and down the river.
Mayor Buell, are there unique aspects that you can bring from Dubuque to the national conversation?
Well, you know, in Dubuque, we've got one of the lock and dams. You know, the infrastructure issue is a critical one for Dubuque. A lot of shipping, you know, goes past our community, both going north and then coming south with ag goods, and we ship quite a bit of that out of Dubuque. But one of the other things that I think, with Iowa being the top ag state in the country, we have issues with nutrient loading that we have to address as a community, much of which is not created in the city of Dubuque. You know, it's from farmland runoff and that type of thing. So, you know, that's an issue I know in a lot of states, and it's one that the EPA is, you know, going to have some real strict guidelines on. You know, it's good that we have that voice through the Mississippi River Cities and Towns and our bicameral caucus in the legislature that will be listening to us so that our concerns can be heard and we can you know, work to make that water quality better for everyone along the river.
And that nutrient runoff issue, I mean, that's something that's affecting communities all along the river. So
yep.
Do you think that the mayors will play a role in that conversation to really help address some of these issues?
You know, we're hoping to. You know, certainly we're the ones, cities are affected probably more so than, you know, individual landowners or farmers. You know, we have all this water coming through our communities that we have to treat and can take the nutrients out of. You know, I'm sure there's going to be guidelines, you know, for runoff from ag land, but ultimately all that water that comes through our cities, you know, we are responsible for. So, I'm sure we're going to have a voice that is going to be listened to.
And just to add, we have, you know, the issues with the nutrient loading, the phosphorus, especially here in Wisconsin, we're dealing with the requirements to significantly reduce the amount of the phosphorus loading that happens. We're hoping to be able to have a more comprehensive solution that includes the other land uses such as agriculture and whatnot that also contribute to that loading.
For people who have a hard time visualizing it, you look at the algae blooms at the mouth of the Mississippi River and all the issues they're having down in the New Orleans area just because of all this phosphorus runoff.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah, and in the Gulf of Mexico, there's a 900-mile dead zone at the Delta just from all the nutrients that are coming down the river. You know, and it's growing all the time. As the nutrient loading increases, that dead area where nothing really lives gets larger. You know, it is a national issue, and you you know, in many ways, it's an international issue. I'm sure other major river basins are dealing with the same type of thing that we have to get some corrective action.
So let's talk about the international issue. Recently, your group decided that you would really start more intensive conversations with leaders of other river communities around the world. So we're talking the Amazon River, the Rhine River, Euphrates. Why is it that you all want to get together with folks halfway around the world?
Well, you know, as major food producing basins of the world become compromised by climate change, and it's happening globally, I think mayors along the Mississippi are concerned about the drop in food output that will be compensated for by producing more food in that Mississippi River Valley. You know, and if that occurs through conventional agriculture, the result, we think, would be devastation to our ecology. You know, from the massive amounts of inputs, you know, nutrients you're putting into the soil to grow the crops, going to be leached into the river systems. And so, you know, as mayors along the Mississippi River, I think we hope to meet with representatives from other major river basins around the world and, you know, beginning what we hope is eventually an international river sustainability agreement that, you know, all the major river basins can agree to, and so we can address climate change and the effects on the different river basins.
Mayor Cabot, what can we in La Crosse learn from people who live along the Amazon?
Well, I think, again, it gets back to that whole notion of sitting down and sharing our best practices and having the conversation. The other key partner in this internationally is the Kingdom of the Netherlands that really has helped us start to make the inroads with these other river basins because, as we know, the Netherlands has been one of the international leaders when it comes to water development, especially for sustainability, but then also all of the flooding and the issues that they've dealt with over their history.
We're going to be a global community of food-producing river basins. I think ultimately that's how it's going to have to be looked at. And we don't want the Mississippi River to be the sole basin that's feeding the rest of the world. We need to use best practices, as Mayor Cabot said, between the different basins so that we can help one another create that food source globally.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCullum. Today, we're talking about the Mississippi River with two members of the Mississippi River Cities and Towns Initiative, a group of mayors from river communities across the country. My guests are La Crosse Mayor Tim Cabot, who's on the executive committee, and joining us by phone is Dubuque Mayor Roy Buell. He's co-chair of the Mississippi River Cities and Towns Initiative. You mentioned before, as you're talking with world leaders on food systems, big part of the focus is on climate change, and this is something that the group has really started honing in on. Mayor Cabot, can you talk about why climate change? Because there are so many other issues that you can really, that this group is addressing when it comes to river issues.
Yes. Well, we, again, at the local level, in many cases, feel the impacts of climate change and are looked upon to address those impacts, whether, you know, one year if there's flooding and very high water conditions and what that does for our economy and for the natural resource itself, and then also years of drought where, again, you have very low water levels, which has very major impacts, as Mayor Buell said, in the lower stem of the Mississippi River where there is so much shipping. You know, one year after the next, it's almost seems like you have a record, you know, flooding year followed by a record drought year. So that's the climate change, and those resiliency issues are very important at the national level through USDA and some of those other agencies are starting to look at ways to help with conservation practices and the resources. And unfortunately, you know, the focus of that at this point has been on the coasts because of the really catastrophic storms. But, you know, again, here in the Mississippi River, we're seeing the impacts.
And Mayor Buell, did you want to add to that?
Yes, as you look at the river systems around the world and you look at climate change, we're all going to be affected differently at different times, I believe. And so we, part of the discussion, I think, is how do we offset shortfalls from one river basin to the next? You know, do others increase production, you know, during drought periods in some basins? You look at California today, you know, and the drought that's that they're experiencing and the effect that's going to have on our food supply in the United States and things that they ship globally. Well, if you have areas around the world that can offset that, because you're working together, you know, it's going to make a more stable food supply globally. And I think, that's part of that discussion when it comes to climate change is how are we going to offset catastrophic climate change issues in one basin by, the other basins helping out with that food production. So that's a long-term vision, I think, of one of the ways we're going to be able to address it through cooperation and partnership.
So your group is sending a delegation to the Conference of the Parties to the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, better known as COP21.
Right.
Good explanation.
Yes. And that is taking place in Paris, I believe, this
Correct.
Fall.
Yeah.
Why get involved in that? And are either of you going to be going?
There is a group, I believe, at this point, we're looking at seven mayors from all the way from, St. Cloud, St. Paul down to New Orleans. And at this point, I believe Mayor Buell and myself are planning to represent the Mississippi River Cities and Towns Initiative there.
That seems like such a heavy weight to carry to, the mayors of La Crosse and Dubuque solving climate change.
Well, we're trying to do our little, each one of our, our small parts.
Yeah, sure.
Right. And, we've experienced that, in the United States, that, most of the work around resiliency and sustainability is happening at the local level. It's not happening at the state level or at the federal level. So we think that's probably true globally.
Beyond that work, I noticed on your website that there's a 2015 policy platform, just a number of major federal issues, it seems, that you all would like to see be addressed. Mayor Cabot, do you maybe want to summarize some of these issues?
Sure. Again, our focus really on at the federal level ranges from the transportation elements and not only the river transportation, but then obviously the access to those rivers, so trails and those types of things that help with the recreation and the tourism aspects. I think that's a big part. We talked about work with USDA on the agricultural bills and natural resource, the conservation service to deal with those climate change issues. One of the things we've talked about is trying to work on the prohibition of coal ash being deposited within floodplains, and that's a somewhat of a recent issue where the coal ash is being used for building materials and other things, fill and whatnot, and we're trying to protect our natural resource and water quality. And then there's other economic development pieces. We talked a little bit about the pre-disaster mitigation grant funding to help communities avoid flooding issues by investing either in acquiring properties and removing them from the floodplain or floodproofing so that it's that, of course, the old saying, the ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So it's a much better investment to try to head those things off before they happen. And then there's the mayor had talked about it earlier. A big piece is that infrastructure piece, working with our core on the lock and dam systems. Again, the systems here in La Crosse, just like in Dubuque, are in many cases 70 or 80 years old. To have those, you kind of cringe to think about if one of those systems would go down and just, again, the impacts that would have up and down the river.
And Mayor Buell, you mentioned that the mayors are getting along, but Congress, the members of Congress who are needed to get a lot of these issues through, maybe these aren't a priority to them or they disagree on whether or not some of these things should be funded. So are you hopeful that some of these things could get through? Or, does it start with getting people to think about the Mississippi River, which, from what I hear from different members of Congress who live along the river, that's not easy?
Well, it is not an easy task. But, 3 years ago, there wasn't a lot of discussion about the Mississippi River and its basin. There just wasn't nationally. And you look at the impact that river has nationally. It's just unfathomable that it's not been discussed, but I think that's changed. Of those states that border the Mississippi River, many of them are on our bicameral caucus, and they meet with us when we go to D.C. in March for our Washington meetings, and we lobby on the Hill for river-centric issues, and they're very supportive, and I think that voice is being heard more and more. Certainly there are many big issues going on in the Congress now, but the Mississippi River is one now that has a voice there.
Dubuque, Iowa Mayor Roy Buell and La Crosse Mayor Tim Cabot talking about their work with the Mississippi River Cities and Towns Initiative. In Wisconsin, the mayors of Prescott, Onalaska, and Prairie du Chien are also involved. The group's mayors will be meeting in Dubuque next month, and so far, Buell says two presidential candidates have committed to meeting with the group. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Stay with us, because coming up next, the gigantic American Queen Riverboat docks in La Crosse for a few days. Also, learn about an upcoming river symposium that's bringing scientists from all over the world to La Crosse. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website at wpr.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. Stretching along a huge portion of Riverside Park, the American Queen Riverboat recently made a stop in La Crosse. It's one of the largest paddlewheel boats cruising the river these days. Many people came down to greet passengers, gawk at the vessel, and reflect on years past when huge riverboats were a more common sight downtown. WPR's Thomas Rehfeldt talked with historical reenactors, tourists, and steamboat enthusiasts about their love of the boats and the Mississippi River.
My name is Diane Breezer. I am a volunteer with La Crosse County Historical Society, and we're here down at the Riverside in La Crosse, Riverside Park, greeting visitors from the American Queen. We do the tours of the city, of the elegant era of the city.
And if somebody wants to see something, just walk up, because you're 20 feet away from this gorgeous riverboat, which is, I don't know how long, it looks like 200 feet long and 50, 60 feet wide. If you ever get the chance to go inside the thing, totally opulent. It's like a five-star hotel inside. My name is Joe Tyson. I will be again General Cadwalader Washburn.
Oh, oh, that is my history Washburn. Crush. Yeah. My history crush, yeah, right there. CC Washburn. Friend, right? I know. Yeah. Shh, don't tell my husband.
This is public radio. We can say these things.
Oh yeah, this is true.
Just a visitor passing through town and happened to get an opportunity to visit and see the. It's the Mississippi Queen, right? And it's beautiful. It's just spectacular. I've seen pictures of it, magazines and that. And to have the opportunity to see it up close, firsthand, is just fantastic. I remember the old days when the Delta Queen used to come through, and I don't think the Delta Queen's even floating anymore. So this is a really nice opportunity for me.
Way down.
I sang with the Larry Bush Trio, and we sing all around Wisconsin, Iowa, and parts of Illinois. And we were contacted by the boat to come in and do some entertainment, and we got to spend the evening with some really great people.
My great-great-grandfather came to La Crosse in 1847 when there were seven people here. And people have been coming down every time a riverboat would come. Everybody came down to the... This is called the levee, and everybody came down here to trade and find out new merchandise that was coming in town, and it was just a great time. There's always been music. The boats had calliopes, and it attracted crowds. And people are been coming down here since La Crosse was founded in 1841.
La Crosse was a river town. La Crosse is still a river town. I've said all along that long before any Europeans came here, the river was a source of food, of transportation, and of recreation. Today, the river is a source of food, transportation, and recreation. Nothing has changed in hundreds and hundreds of years. So it is iconic, it is classy, it is who we are, a river town, in fact, one of the biggest river towns in about a 250-mile stretch.
She's more in style for the year than I am. I'm just colorful. That's it. With a colorful bow tie.
Too bad the folks can't see my lovely hat.
And your lovely ankle.
And my lovely... No. Cannot be showing ankle.
WPR's Thomas Rehfeldt brought us that audio postcard after the American Queen Riverboat made a recent stop in La Crosse. You're listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. River biologists, chemists, historians, and geologists from all over the world are gathering in La Crosse next week, the fourth biennial International Symposium of the International Society for River Science is converging in this area to explore the similarities and challenges that river systems are experiencing globally. I recently talked with members of the symposium steering committee. Roger Harrow is a UW-La Crosse biology professor and UWL River Studies Center assistant director. And Gretchen Benjamin, she's with the Nature Conservancy and works on Mississippi River issues.
Rivers around the world are all experiencing different types of use, multiple uses, and if we can share experiences and perhaps learn from one another and do things better in the future than perhaps we have in the past, then the exchange is very worthwhile for everybody who participates.
And Roger, I bet you could say that from a research perspective, too.
Oh, sure. And there's a lot of different ways to look at rivers. And so, for example, we've got a special session that Gretchen's going to be handling or moderating. One of the speakers is coming in. She's a historian that's going to be talking about the dual development of the Mississippi River and the Volga River during critical times in both nations' development in terms of industrialization. So there's really it's a focus about how rivers have played a role in our civilization. So there's a lot of aspects, a lot of unique aspects that scientists are going to be able to, you know, look at other scholars as well and get a feel for what they're working on and the importance of rivers altogether.
Gretchen, the Nature Conservancy is one of the associate members of this international group. Can you talk about the partnership between both organizations and maybe if, I don't know, if there's interesting work that has sort of stemmed from that partnership?
The real work between the Nature Conservancy and ISRS is the fact that this whole idea of river exchange is trying to do things better, trying to manage rivers better. And in many cases, it's trying to get people to understand what are the needs for navigation, what are the needs for water supply, what are the needs for energy, and how do we think about the ecosystem while we're thinking about all these other pieces and put them together better than perhaps we have before. So that's why the Nature Conservancy has been real involved in this type of work in these types of organizations. We do actually work on eight different rivers around the world, very large. We call them the Great Rivers. But that interaction with a group like ISRS helps us to spread ideas and also get ideas from other folks.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about the upcoming Symposium of the International Society for River Science. It's going to be here in La Crosse, August 22nd through 28th. My guests today are part of the symposium steering committee. There's committee chair Roger Harrow. He's a UW-La Crosse biology professor and UWL River Studies Center assistant director. Gretchen Benjamin works for the Nature Conservancy, and she primarily focuses on the Mississippi River. So why have this conference here in La Crosse? In past years, it's been held in Florida, Germany, and China. Now here we are in La Crosse.
Correct. It's about 3 years ago, a colleague of ours, Dr. Martin Toms from the University of New England in Australia, was participating as a Fulbright Fellow at the USGS Upper Midwest Environmental Sciences Center.
Right here in La Crosse?
Right here in La Crosse, and interacting with colleagues over there. And he's been with the society for a long time. Saw the potential, the beauty of the area, the size of the river, and how much research is going on here in the La Crosse area and Winona area, and said, well, this is a logical place for us to hold this symposium. And he approached us and asked us to put together specifically the River Studies Center at UWL to propose a meeting plan, and we did, and it was accepted. And we pulled together a lot of people, including Gretchen here, and we've been working on it for about 2 years. So it's a real exciting opportunity for the community, for our colleagues in the sciences, and for our students, too.
You know, and I think also people who live here don't understand that it's almost a secret how beautiful this place is.
Mm. Some people take it for granted.
Other people come here and they're just wowed by what it looks like. But one of the really interesting things about this area is not only do we have this incredible research going on, but we've done some incredible restoration. The whole lower part of, we live on Pool 8 as it's known, and the whole lower part of Pool 8 has been restored to almost pre-lock and dam conditions at this point in time. We're going to get people out there to see that. I think even just as folks fly in here, they're just going to be blown away by how beautiful it is. And you come here late in October, and late in August, and it's gorgeous out there. So I think from a river perspective, this is a really great place to see a fairly well-functioning river.
Gretchen, just a second ago, Roger talked about how maybe people don't understand all the research and work that's going on the river. So maybe before bouncing back to him, can you talk about the work that you do with the Nature Conservancy when it comes to focusing on the Mississippi River, and maybe some of your colleagues too? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I spend a lot of time on is actually supporting a federal program called the Upper Mississippi Restoration Program. And that program is what brings us dollars to do the actual restoration out on the river, but also do a lot of the research that the U.S. Geological Survey is responsible for, and also field stations in the various states up and down the river. And so we work on making sure that the federal government makes the appropriations to that program, and then also that the policies associated with that program run as smoothly as possible so we can get that work on the ground and going. I've also worked with the Corps of Engineers on remanaging the way that the locks and dams are operated so that we can provide ecological benefit as well as the benefits we need for navigation, and we've had some great success with that. People often refer to it as the drawdowns, and so we actually are reducing water levels during the summer months only slightly so that we get the plants and the ecological conditions to respond well, but we're not impacting commercial navigation out on the river. So those are some of the things that we've been doing for restoration. Those types of things we're trying to do up and down, you know, from St. Paul down to St. Louis areas, the restoration.
And Roger, there's so much research going on within the River Studies Center here based at UW-La Crosse. But I don't know if you can give any sort of quick overview for people who maybe don't understand the work that you're doing, maybe some of the work that USGS is also doing.
Sure. So one of the things that's good to realize is that we have an over 40-year collaboration with our federal partners. They've been named various things over time. But we are focusing on many issues like invasive species, global warming, and how it impacts our native mussel populations in the area, the impacts of non-point source pollution, including nutrients and sediment delivery to large river from the landscape, and how that affects resources for the users in the area that come from miles around and spend their time on the river recreating and using the river for its ecological services. And so there's a lot of work that goes on in many sectors. There are approximately 12 different faculty from various departments at UWL that participate in the River Study Center, from mathematics to chemistry to geography, earth science, and even history. So it's a good group. We have a lot of interactions, and there's a lot of synergism that goes on. And we've been very, very productive over time in terms of our publication output. And I think more importantly, as a teaching institution, our students become river scientists, are spread across the country and are doing great things as well.
So the upcoming symposium of the International Society for River Science, the theme this year is, summarizing it, connectivity to, within, and among river landscapes. Can one of you explain what exactly that means? Gretchen?
Really, as people have used rivers over the years, they tend to confine the river and not allow that exchange of the river out into the floodplain along with the flowing parts of the river. All these different human uses we have of the river, whether it's energy or navigation or water supply, whatever the case may be, how do we connect that with the water so that we can provide better ecological services, but also, you know, just to have people think about their connection to a river and how it shapes their lives. And so there's kind of a social dimension, there's an ecological dimension, and in many cases there's an economic dimension to the connectivity of rivers.
And Roger, do you want to expand upon that?
Yes. I mean, rivers as ecosystems are really huge conduits that take water and the material that water brings to the river off the landscape, including carbon. So we're learning a lot more of the roles that rivers globally play in not only our water cycle, but in our carbon cycle, which is extremely important to understand right now, given that there's concerns about how carbon is sequestered and how carbon is utilized at a global scale. So rivers play the central role scientifically, but as Gretchen mentioned, also historically, they're connections for civilizations. If you take a look at most of the civilizations that have developed around the world, many of them are located on key river systems. And so it's always been a way for mankind to communicate with one another, to travel, to bring commerce up and down. And so we're finding that connectivity is a huge theme, not just from a scientific aspect, but from a sociological aspect as well, an economic one.
And anytime I talk with someone who works with the Mississippi River, you constantly hear whatever happens up here on the upper Mississippi River affects everything south on the Mississippi River, even if it's hundreds, thousands of miles away. And maybe there are people up here that don't really think about that. They forget that the Mississippi River goes from here all the way down to New Orleans.
Right. And it's interesting to realize it's 10 years ago that we had, you know, Hurricane Katrina, and thinking about the role that the river played and the role that humans played in trying to control the river that failed at that point in time. And so, yes, rivers are definitely connected from upstream to downstream, and there's a lot of materials that, you know, make it into the river that we'd like to try to keep up on the landscape for keeping our soils more productive, keeping our topsoils there, and not having them go down the river and then entering into the Gulf of Mexico where they cause problems, especially the nutrients like nitrogen.
Gretchen, did you want to add?
Well, I just wanted to say one of the more interesting aspects of my job is that I'm very aware of what's been happening on the upper Mississippi River in terms of research and restoration. But with my job I have now, I also work on the river from Cairo, Illinois, down to New Orleans. And there isn't a restoration program on the lower part of the river. So taking the information we've learned from the upper river and trying to figure out what might be helpful for them to do more for restoration. There's 1,000 miles of river down there that really don't have any sort of restoration program, any restoration goals in mind. And so we're working on that lower river to take everything we've learned from the upper river and transfer it down to the lower river and kind of create one big river, a whole system of restoration, and hopefully that's something we'll see play out here soon. Myself and a lot of other partners on the lower river are trying to make that happen. So I get it's that whole learning exchange, but you know, we have this big river, but we haven't completely connected it yet, and we're trying to make that connection.
And another playing off of that too is that we've got the Mississippi River here, but we're having people that work on the Danube, on the Murray Darling. Those are large rivers that have been managed for, we talk about the Danube, for centuries longer than we've been managing the Mississippi. And so we're going to be exposed to other views and other policies and other approaches, and they will be exposed to our policies and approaches. And so, again, a connection of ideas and exchange of maybe management policies that could produce better management on the road.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about the upcoming 4th Biennial Symposium of the International Society for River Science. It's taking place here in La Crosse, August 22nd through 28th. My guests today are members of the Symposium Steering Committee, Committee Chair Roger Harrow. He's a UW La Crosse Biology Professor and the UWL River Studies Center Assistant Director, and Gretchen Benjamin. She works for the Nature Conservancy and has a major focus on the Mississippi River. What are some other major themes? And I guess we talked about the theme of connectivity, but what are some other major topics that you're really hoping to either learn more about or engage people in? Gretchen?
Well, I have a special session there about navigation. And as Roger mentioned before, we'll be talking about the histories of some European rivers. But a colleague of mine that works on the Tapajós River, which is a tributary to the Amazon, will be there as well. And she's going to come to hear what, from a historical perspective, we've done to these other rivers. But the Tapajós River is now facing more and more navigation on that river, and perhaps learn from us, but also provide us with the information she has about how the development is actually occurring on that river, and begin that exchange of how we can help to make it the best it can possibly be and more sustainable long term. Because I actually went to that river. It's amazing. I saw pink and gray dolphins, freshwater dolphins on that river. So it's a place it's very, very special, and we want to keep it that way.
Yeah. And Roger, what about you?
I think we've got a number of featured speakers that are coming in. Besides our opening speaker, Chad Padracki, who's a CNN Hero of the Year Award from 2013.
Yeah, maybe let's talk a little bit about Chad before diving into some of the others.
Chad is a citizen that has been volunteering and cleaning up the river up and down large swaths of the Mississippi, and he energizes communities along the Mississippi to come and clean up the river. And so he was awarded that honor by CNN, and he's lives down in the Quad City area, and we thought, what a great opportunity to have him come up here and open up that part of the conference to the larger community on Sunday afternoon. And so that's going to be really exciting to hear his views and see why he's so passionate about the river. And maybe we've got a lot of people already fired up about the river here too, but it maybe even energize more people to take an active role in keeping the river clean.
Can it be understated how big of a difference he has made when it comes to cleaning up and just getting people to think about cleaning up the river? Because we even hear about Mississippi River cleanups, you know,
right,
a couple times a year.
He's sort of put an image on in terms of what he pulls out of the river.
Okay.
I mean, it's pretty, the not only the volume, but the diversity of objects that make their way into the river,
the bathtubs,
either intentionally
the tires,
or unintentionally. And, you know, and sometimes they can be hazards. And
mm-hmm.
so it's a good thing to keep in mind, not only for people to get out there and do something, but also to, you know, look around and be careful what they put next to the river, what they're, you know, using as they're boating, as they're camping on the islands. It all goes into the river. And so I think it's a great opportunity to get a great sort of charismatic person to come in and talk about his passion for the river.
Besides Chad and his keynote address, are there other speakers or just ideas that you and your colleagues in the River Studies Center are really looking forward to
right.
learning more about or bringing forward?
Another one of the plenary speakers is Dr. William Dennison. He is also from the University of Maryland. And he's been working with a number of stakeholders in the Mississippi River Basin. So when I talk about the Mississippi River Basin, I'm talking about the Mississippi, the Ohio, the Missouri, the Arkansas Red. It's 41% of the United States. What they've been trying to do is come up with a report card for what's the economic value and where is it at for the Mississippi, the ecological perspective, the water supply, energy, navigation. He's going to come and talk about how they formulated that report card and how difficult it was to figure something like that out on a basin scale of the Mississippi River, which is the third largest mm-hmm. river basin in the world. How do you start to figure that piece out? So he's going to be an interesting one to sort of set the tone one of the days as well.
And I would imagine something like a report card just makes it easy for the public or even just policymakers to understand what exactly is going on and why it matters.
Yeah, it really is. It's taking a lot of information and trying to create a communication tool mm-hmm. for what all that information really means. And there's a lot of layers of information below how you come up with those grades. It's a very arduous process, but it's really interesting what they've been able to do it's been going on for about 2 or 3 years now. So
Gretchen, a lot of the, you know, the main part of the symposium is really geared towards the attendees and scientific presentations and whatnot. But as Roger said, there's the keynote speaker that's open up to the public. And I understand there are other programs and presentations that the public can come to and just learn more about the river.
Yeah, there is another, I believe it's Thursday, is that correct? Public Education, Public Outreach Day.
Right.
Yeah. We've got a gentleman, Jerry Ensler, from the museum in Dubuque, Iowa, coming to address the group about how do you communicate with people. But after he opens up that session, then we're bringing the public in to start talking about how do we talk about these maybe sometimes complicated ideas of science associated with river. How do we communicate that out to a broader audience so that people really start to care and start to do things to help the river and create that more sustainable river we think is necessary for us to do well as a society into the future.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be on Thursday, and the public
actually,
it's
is gonna be on Wednesday.
Wednesday,
so
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. And Roger?
On Sunday, again, from noon to 5 at Riverside Park in La Crosse, we're going to have a large tent. A lot of people that work on the river, the agencies are going to have displays down there. Brennan Marine is graciously pulling off one of their tugboats and mooring it at Riverside Park.
The Barbara B.
Yes, and it's going to be giving tours for folks. And so, you know, the Mississippi River is, as a great ecosystem, is a working river. And we're very happy that Brennan is providing this opportunity for the public and for our symposium.
And I know the two of you mentioned it before, but as we wrap up, can you just remind people about just the importance and how lucky we are to be living on the Mississippi River and the role that it does play, not just for us locally, because, you know, we all have our own personal connection to the river, but just the role that it plays within a global system.
Sure.
Roger?
Sure. I think the Mississippi is a focal piece for a lot of research, but also just as, if you think about all the just the songs that people have, you know, there's you listen to just popular music, but music going all the way back. Rivers have played a huge role. They're in our psyche, and they draw us near. And so the Mississippi is one of those great entities. And so I think it's part of who we are, especially in La Crosse, but globally, and people in other parts of the world, I think probably very similar ways about their river. Rivers can be very beautiful. They can provide lots of services, but they can also provide, you know, sometimes some difficulties for us, as we know about flooding, but also the lack of water as well, which is folks in California are experiencing right now. So thinking about how we manage our rivers and what we can control and what we can't control is very important. So.
And Gretchen, did you want to add on to that?
Yeah, well, you know, I just say that, you know, as I mentioned before, the restoration we've done on the Upper Mississippi River, it's become state of the art. When we first started doing it almost 30 years ago, there really wasn't much river restoration going on. And so all the lessons learned that we've gone through over these years are really great pieces of information to provide with our colleagues around the world, and even within the Mississippi River Basin itself. So I think, you know, as our visitors come to the Upper Miss to participate in this conference, but also the residents that live along its banks really need to appreciate what an incredible resource it is. It still needs a lot of attention. I don't want anyone to think it's in a sustainable way at this point in time, but it really is a strong asset for us here and something for us to enjoy every single day.
And when you talk restoration, are you referring to, you know, the islands that have been built, flood control, et cetera?
Yeah, it's primarily, yeah, the islands, recreating some of the channels that would have been in the backwaters. Backwater complexes are very, very complex, just as the name would apply. And, you know, so you've got flowing channels and you've got shallow wetlands and you've got islands and mudflats and all these different habitats that we need. And so biologists have and ecologists have been working on that for years to put those pieces back together and have done a beautiful job.
And Roger, you're hoping to take away from not only the attendees, but maybe if the public stops by Riverside Park for one of the nights, just to understand what's going on here, the research that's going on, but also just maybe look at the river from a different perspective.
Right. And, you know, when I, you know, walk around and talk to my neighbors or I'm at the market, you know, some people know what I do. And the first thing they ask is, well, how's the river? And that's something we always want to have people ask us, and we're always trying to find out ways to better understand how the river operates. And rivers are fascinating things to study and to be around. And so we'd like people, you know, to know that they've got this expertise in the area, both here at UWL, but also with our government agencies, Fish and Wildlife, and the USGS, Upper Midwest Environmental Sciences Center. There's a wealth of knowledge here, and people like to share that. And so if we can get that out to the public in a better way, then great.
Roger Harrow is a UW La Crosse biology professor and UWL River Studies Center Assistant Director. Gretchen Benjamin is with the Nature Conservancy and works on Mississippi River issues. They were talking about the fourth biennial International Symposium of the International Society for River Science, which kicks off Sunday in La Crosse. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCullum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. And if you'd like to share comments or make a suggestion for a future show, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives and photos, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.